Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Wednesday, December 27th, and we're glad you're tuned in and listening today. Glad to be able to make these broadcasts and air them over WSOF and WAJJ Radio, and I hope you're enjoying a good Christmas week. Some people are off all week. Some people are off a few days or have been now probably going back to work today or tomorrow. But nonetheless, it's a good week that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I hope you did have a great Christmas day and holiday. And then I hope you're looking forward to gathering in at the house of God tonight. We'll be meeting here at the Island Ford Baptist Church tonight at 7 o'clock for regular midweek prayer service, the last midweek prayer service of the year. I'd like to invite you to come out and be with us if you can. We'd love to have you. We're very easily located at 1415 Island Ford Road in Madisonville, Kentucky. Love to have you with us tonight at 7 o'clock. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer now and ask Him to bless the broadcast and to use it for His glory and honor. Father, I love You and thank You for Your goodness, grace, and mercy in my life. Lord, there's no way I could thank You enough just for giving Your Son. I want to thank You that You so loved the world that You gave Your only begotten Son. Father, I want to thank You that He did live a perfect life and then He died He not only lived a sinless perfect life, but He died a sacrificial death. He didn't have to die. Because it's the wages of sin that make a man die, but Christ chose to die, willed Himself to die, allowed Himself to die that we might be saved. I want to thank You, Lord God, for that, that God the Father was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Father, I want to thank You for that. Now, Lord, I thank You for these days that we celebrate and rejoice in the good Lord and Savior that You've given us. Father, I pray that You would bless now even this broadcast as it airs today, and we play these Christian biographies that we're playing this week. I hope that they're a blessing to the people. They're a blessing to me as I've read them and as I've prepared them for this week's broadcast, and I pray they'll be a blessing to others as well. Lord, I pray that You might use the Word of God and the message, dear God, to prick some sinner, to bring them to Christ, Lord, to awaken them to their fact that they are in need of a Savior, and then, Father, that You might strengthen the saints and truly revive Thy work. Bless in our prayer meeting tonight. Have Your way in that as well. Lord, we pray, and Lord, You get the glory and the honor, and we ask it in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you for praying. We're playing a song this week on the broadcast. This is the Concord Baptist Young People's Revival Choir singing, "Tell Me the Story of Christmas." This week is the one set aside by many to celebrate the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We certainly do not know conclusively what day of the year our Lord was born, but we do know that He chose to come into the world as a tiny baby. I know that Jesus was more than just a man. He is the God-man. But I would like to think about the power of this man's life. The power of the story of this man's life reminds me also that there is power in the stories of the lives of others. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1, verse 14 says this, "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." Now this verse, friend, is not speaking about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rather, it's speaking about the birth and the life of John the Baptist, the predecessor, the forerunner of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'd like to use this verse as a springboard to think about the lives of others who have lived in the past and what a blessing that they might bring to us even today. For this week of broadcasting, for the Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast, I've chosen to bring out some biographical sketches of Christians from the past. I have a book written in 2009 by Warren W. Wiersbe entitled 50 People Every Christian Should Know. It has a subtitle, Learning from Spiritual Giants of the Faith. Now, while I do not revere every selection that he chose to write about, I have found that the book is very valuable in reading. The biographies are short and they're concise. They are varied among denominational lines and even gender lines. But they contain valuable information about the person highlighted even given us some suggested locations where additional materials can be found. I believe that it is beneficial for Christians to read and to study the lives and the biographies of other Christians of the past. Wiersbe likens it to Isaac digging the old wells of his father Abraham, as referenced in Genesis 26:18. I find it valuable to drink the water from their wells. I believe it is beneficial for us today as well. I believe that it is imperative that we get this generation of Christians to glean and to learn from previous generations of Christians. They have so much to teach us if we're only willing to listen and to learn. George Santayana warned this. He said, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." Wiersbe says this way, "The past is not an anchor to drag us back, but a rudder to keep us guided into the future." Amen. One of the things I plan to do for this series is to add scripture references that we might grow even more biblically strong in our faith. Now, with this in mind, I've chosen today to speak of someone who was not a common commentator. Matthew Henry, born 1662, died 1714. I've chosen to call this program about Matthew Henry, Not a Common Commentator. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Matthew Henry is a well-known Bible commentator. Preachers and people have been using his commentaries and reading his writings for a very long time. Charles Spurgeon described those commentaries as, quote, "suitable to everybody, instructive to all." Spurgeon also recommended that every minister of the gospel read straight through Matthew Henry's commentary at least once during his lifetime. Perhaps Spurgeon got that idea from his model, George Whitefield, who carried his set of Matthew Henry on all of his travels and read it daily. Some people say he read it on his knees. Matthew Henry was born in Broad Oaks, Shropshire, England, on October 18, 1662. His father, Philip Henry, was a nonconformist minister who, along with 2,000 other clergymen, had been ejected from his church by the Act of Uniformity issued that year by Charles II. These courageous men had refused to compromise their convictions and had refused to give unfeigned consent and assent to the prayer book of the Episcopal Church. They had also refused to submit to Episcopal ordination. Philip Henry had married an heiress of a large estate in Broad Oaks named Catherine Matthews. Her father was not in favor of the match and told his daughter, quote, "Nobody knows where he came from," unquote. But Catherine wisely replied, "True, but I know where he's going, and I should like to go with him." Amen. Matthew was physically weak, but it was not long before his strength of intellect and character made themselves known. At the age of 3, he was reading the Bible. By the time he was 9, he was competent in Latin and Greek. He spent his first 18 years being tutored at home in an atmosphere that was joyfully and lovingly Christian. Reminds me of the text in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Paul says to Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Matthew Henry loved to hear his father preach. A sermon on Psalm 51, verse 17, first awakened in young Matthew a desire to know the Lord personally. That text, Psalm 51, 17, says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." He was only 10 years old at the time, but the impression was a lasting one. When he was 13, Matthew wrote an amazingly mature analysis of his own spiritual condition. Often, after hearing his father preach, Matthew would hurry to his room and pray that God would seal his word and the spiritual impressions made to his heart so that he might not lose them. And God answered those youthful prayers. Psalm 119, verse 18, gives us a similar prayer. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. In July 1680, Matthew was sent to London to study with that holy and faithful minister Thomas Doolittle, who had an academy in his home. Unfortunately, religious persecutions of that day forced Doolittle to close his academy, and Matthew returned to Broad Oaks. In April of 1685, he returned to London to study law at Gray's Inn. He was a good student, but he never lost the burning desire to be a minister of the gospel. A year later, he returned to Broad Oaks and began to preach whenever opportunity presented itself. And on May 9th, 1687, he was ordained. Before his ordination, he put himself through a heart-searching self-examination in which he studied seriously his own Christian experience, his motives for ministry, and his fitness for the service. The paper contains both confession of faith and confession of sin. He concluded that he was not entering the ministry, quote, as a trade to live by, unquote, or to make a name for himself. He also concluded, quote, I have no design in the least to maintain a party or to keep up any schismatical faction, unquote. In other words, he was not interested in drawing a crowd unto himself. He only desired to please God by preaching his truth from his word. Throughout his ministry, Matthew Henry loved and cooperated with all who trusted Christ and wanted to serve him, no matter what their denominational connections might have been. Even the leaders of the Episcopal Church admitted that Matthew Henry was a good and godly man. A group of believers in Chester invited Matthew Henry to become their pastor, and on June 2nd, 1687, he began 25 happy years of ministry among them. Though he was in demand to preach in other churches in the area, he was rarely absent from his own pulpit on the Lord's Day. He was married in August of that same year. On February 14th, 1689, his wife died in childbirth, although by the mercy of God, their daughter lived. Matthew married again on July 8th, 1690. And God gave him and his wife 9 children, 8 of them girls, 3 of whom died during their first year. His only son, named Philip, as was his father, was born May 3rd, 1700. But he did not follow his father's faith or his grandfather's. His interest lay in this world and not in the world to come. God blessed the ministry in Chester so that a new sanctuary was erected and was dedicated on August 8, 1700. The effectiveness of Matthew Henry's pulpit ministry reached even to London, and several churches there tried to secure his service. But he loved his people at Trinity Church in Chester and refused their invitation to move. Matthew was usually in his study before 5 o'clock each morning, devoting himself to the preparation of his exposition of the Word. He had breakfast with his family and always led them in worship, reading and expounding some passage from the Old Testament. He then returned to his study until afternoon, when he would set out to visit his people. After the evening meal, he would again lead the household in worship, using a New Testament passage for his meditation. He often questioned the children and the servants to make sure they understood the teaching. Often in the late afternoon, he would put in a few more hours of study before retiring for the night. He said to fellow ministers, take heed of growing remiss in your work. Take pains while you live. The Scripture still affords new things to those who search them. End quote. Amen. It was not unusual for him to preach 7 times a week, and yet he was always fresh and practical. He said this, no place is like my own study, no company like good books, especially the book of God. We wonder what Matthew Henry would think of those ministers today who rush about all week, wasting time, and then borrow another man's sermon for the Lord's Day. The key date in Matthew Henry's life is November 12, 1704. On that day, he started writing his famous commentary. On April 17, 1714, he completed his comments on the book of Acts. But 2 months later, on June 22, he suddenly took ill and died. Matthew Henry was not pastoring in Chester when he was called home. On May 18, 1712, he had begun his new ministry in Hackney, London. One of the factors motivating his move was his desire to be closer to his publisher as his commentary was being printed. He had ministered 25 years at Trinity Church, Chester, and only 2 years in London at the time of his death. The funeral service was held on June 25th, and he was buried at Trinity Church. Much of the material in Henry's commentary came from his own expositions of Scripture given at family worship and from the pulpit. There are also a great deal of Philip Henry in these passages, especially the pithy sayings that season the exposition. Matthew's purpose in writing the commentary was practical, not academic. He simply wanted to explain and apply the Word of God in language which the common people could understand. Several of his pastor friends gathered up his notes and sermons and completed the commentary from Romans to Revelation. When you read their exposition, you can see how far short they fall in the high standards set by the original author. In true Puritan fashion, Matthew Henry had the ability to get to the heart of a passage, to outline the passage clearly, and then apply its truths to daily life. Truly, there were times when he spiritualized the truth and missed the point. But generally speaking, he did his work well. One does not have to agree with all of his interpretations to benefit from his observations. In 1765, John Wesley published an edited version of Matthew Henry's commentary, hoping to bring it within the reach of the average Christian reader. Wesley felt that the common or the current version was too large and too expensive. But at the same time, Wesley also deleted all that Matthew Henry had to say about election and predestination. He also omitted, quote, an abundance of quaint sayings, end quote. And thus, he took the seasoning out of the dinner and made it bland. In his preface, Wesley remarked that he used to wonder where some preachers, he said, whom I greatly esteem, obtained these pretty turns in preaching, as he called them, that he heard in their sermons. But after reading Matthew Henry, he said, he had discovered their source. I have a suspicion that this was a gentle criticism of Wesley's estranged friend, George Whitfield, who used to read Matthew Henry before going into the pulpit. You will not find Matthew Henry grappling with big problems as he expounds the Word, or perhaps shedding light on difficult passages of the Bible. For this kind of help, you've got to consult critical commentaries. Matthew Henry did not know a great deal about the customs of the Holy Land, since travel to the East was quite limited in his day. Again, the student will need up-to-date commentaries and Bible dictionaries in order to help him in that area. However, for a devotional and practical approach to Bible exposition, this commentary leads the way. I agree with what one preacher said about the statement I just made there. One preacher said, you don't need to know all about the culture and study the culture. You need to know all about the Bible and study the Bible, because our job is not necessarily to relate to the culture, but to relate the Bible to the culture. Amen. Matthew Henry studied his Bible and taught the Bible. And when you're studying Matthew Henry's commentaries, you're reading a good study on the Bible. I must confess that I have not followed Spurgeon's advice to read straight through Matthew Henry's commentary, but I have read much in it, and I found it very profitable over the years. As I've stated, if I could only have one set of commentaries, I think I would probably choose Matthew Henry's above the others. Many times in my sermon preparation, I have consulted various sources. And then when I have a skeleton of an outline, perhaps most of the body of the sermon, I'll look to see what Matthew Henry has to say. I found it true quite often that just a sentence from Matthew Henry opens up a whole new area of thought for me and helps me to feed my own soul and to feed my congregation. Some interesting facts about Matthew Henry is that two leading books of quotes reference Henry. Bartlett's Familiar Quotations has 14 quotations from Matthew Henry. The Oxford Dictionary of Quotations, 3rd edition, has 6. Apparently, Matthew Henry is the originator of the phrase, creature comforts, as well as the popular saying, all this and heaven too. Now, if you'd like to get to know this expositor and his father better, you should obtain a copy of the book entitled The Lives of Philip and Matthew Henry, published by Banner of Truth, and no longer in print, but you can find older versions available. Well, that book is, the first part of it's written by Matthew Henry himself, the part about his father, the biography. But then that part written about Matthew is by J.B. Williams and not nearly as exciting as Matthew's writings himself. When he was on his deathbed, Matthew Henry said to a friend, quote, "You have been asked to take notice of the sayings of dying men. This is mine. That a life spent in the service of God and communion with Him is the most pleasant life that anyone can live." Let me close as we think about the departure and the death of Matthew Henry with these verses from Holy Scripture. Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And Revelation 14, 15. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day, and God bless you.